Welcome to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. The light of the world is what he called us to be. The light of the world. Shouting from the rooftops, letting everyone know that our God reigns. Jesus is Lord. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you is John Ramos.
Hello.
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 I like the depth of that. You like the depth? I like the depth of that. Hello? Is that you, Edith? Also joining us today because the normal producer of the VFN Radio program is at the spa treatment today, getting his nails done.
You know who's listening.
Yes. Chris.
Hello.
Hello, hello. We are going to be, if you missed yesterday, you got to catch yesterday, talking about the original intent. You'll be shocked at the reality of what we don't yet know because we just didn't take the time to learn, but we're learning as we speak. The original intent of the founding fathers of the nation, the Constitution, empathy. You've got to get there. Also, by faith, you got to catch that as well. But today we're going to be talking about getting a perspective, of what's taking place in Great Britain with this radical Islam, radicalized. What does all this mean, this word, right? It's like, we just call that being mean and taking somebody and running them over with a car and brutally decapitating someone who was just innocently walking down the street. We don't call it this religious terminology. That's evil. We're going to hear about that from a professor at Hebrew University. Professor Sharon is going to be talking about the difference between a house of peace and a house of war and what that means in Islamic terminology and beliefs there. Also, we're going to be talking about Israel's chief is saying that they are on the brink of a war on every side, potentially on every side of them, and there's not that many sides to Israel. We're seeing the prophetic fulfillment of so much that we're told. It's his time. Look, listen, church, we have to look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh. A lot of prophecy we're going to be talking about, what's been taking place and what's being fulfilled. And so much more. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
Oh, my. So many things are taking place. Get a chance to share with everything. For some reason, my mic's coming over real strange. But I just want to let you know that God is in control. Everything that you have are seeing take place or denying that that's not taking place. Hmm. I didn't just lose my job. Right. I'm not just losing my house. I'm not, you know, all these different things people are going through. I just want to encourage you that if you go back, and the reason why we wanted to make sure the VFN torch was up, which you can get to at VFNTV.com, and if you go to the top in the menu up there, it says prophetic dreams, I believe, at least it's prophecy. And we posted word some time back to let you know that God had already begun to share with his people, and we heard some of the things he was saying was going to be taking place, and it is taking place as we speak. Understand that the world is, there's two battles going on right now. No matter what name people put on it, it's a battle between light and dark. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, and every form of dark religion out there that want to deny the reality of the only way to God, Jesus Christ. That's why the cross is so offensive to everybody who don't know Jesus. It's like, really, does it bother you that much?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That much? Does it really bother you? And it's like, yeah, because it tells everybody access into the Father's presence in eternity. Mm-hmm. You know, and you think about it. How could it have so much power? Because it is the epicenter. If you turn it sideways, it'd be like an X. An X marks the spot that man had a chance to be with God if you make a choice for the Lord. It's so powerful that they're wanting to pull it down from parks and off grave sites.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And it's like, really? That just really encourages me because that means what that represents to you, I actually have in my heart. That's God.
That's right.
And you can know him too. Instead of pulling that cross down, why don't you just fall to your knees and acknowledge, because every man will, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But you want to do it on this side in the dispensation of grace.
I know, that's right.
You don't want to do it as, you know, after the appointed time of death. And but it's just amazing. So be encouraged. Look, this is what he says. He says, when you start saying all these things, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And as we talked about yesterday, and you need to hear, I'm telling you, stay in this conversation. Don't, you know, you can hit and miss if you want to and that type of thing. But I mean, what kind of conversation are you really hearing in your day-to-day life that's talking about a fresh rhema word and a seeking a light perspective, an L-I-G-H-T perspective of all this is taking place in the world and where you fit into all this? And not only that, but we can even have a good time while we're doing it, because we win no matter what.
That's right.
And you want to be found doing the right thing on the right side of history. This is what Jesus said several times. It would be good for the master to find you doing what he asked you to do, right?
You right. Sure did.
That is the British NIV. It'd be good for the master to find you doing what you said you were going to do. Right? Is that right?
Yeah, so
the Southern version
good.
Of it. Southern version of it. Well, Bubba. But listen, I am pumped about God is speaking to so many of his sons and daughters and how he's gathering together a spiritual army to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. And it's just so stirred in my heart in such a major way. And we can't share it. I mean, we're about to hit our anniversary coming up in a few days, and we're excited about it. And we haven't even begun to unfold. God's done so many things that if we were to share it with you, we wouldn't have enough time to do it. Obviously, it's been a year, and we still haven't shared all of it. But the God of the Bible, look, understand this. The God of the Bible is the God of today. Everything you read about him is true from cover to cover. I was listening to Franklin Graham interviewed last night on Fox News. He's being interviewed by Greta. And they just walk in such great humility.
Yes, they do.
And he's just, you know, telling things the way they are. And he says, well, listen, Greta. He says, I just believe the Bible from cover to cover. It's the true word of God. And he's basically saying, I can't change that. I'm not gonna say anything else. And understanding what he's saying is, I had to say some things about marriage in North Carolina that they were challenging me because of that, he said. And immediately the same day, he got two letters from the IRS saying that he was being audited. Both of their ministries are being audited. And the letters were dated the same day.
Wow.
And of course, we can stand up for values and issues. Has nothing to do with it. We just don't support any political candidates or anything like that. Besides, there's no hope in a man, any man. And every man needs God and needs a grace in their life. And you should be praying for whoever's in leadership in your city, in your state, in your nation. And if anybody needs prayer right now, our president and his family and those in Washington need prayer. They need God's wisdom. And he says, pray for those in authority over you so that you may have a peaceful life. Listen, I'm seeing great unrest on the horizon. It's not time to criticize. It's time to pray. It's time to obey God. And he said, obey. And if you're in America, you're living in a democracy. I mean, come on now. You're not living under a king or anything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, pray for our president. Pray for his cabinet. Pray for the House of Representatives and the Senate. And pray for the judiciary branch. And understand that they're human beings like we are. And they have ears like we do. And they can hear. And God loves them. And they're not where they are. God's not unaware of where they are.
That's
so
right.
He can speak to them where they are. But if you're criticizing them instead of praying for them, instead of just trying to seek God's perspective and what he wants you to do, then you're just adding to the problem.
Right.
You're adding,
stirring it up.
You're stirring it up. So remember that. And so he says, you know, I believe it from cover to cover. And what Franklin was talking about was he had to stand up for what God says about marriage. And in the context of people obviously took that in because they saw things in a different viewpoint. But he's saying, I can't change that.
Right.
I can't change that. And if this makes you feel comfortable that when we read the word of God, we have to make adjustments in our life.
That's right.
You know, we're like, okay, I can't do that. You know, that's not good. That's not pleasing to God. And so every man has had to repent and constantly in the state of humility, being willing to adjust to any moment what God would have in for us to do at that time. So the same word that may challenge you and convict you of your sin is the same word that challenges us and convicts us and keeps us in a place before God. Where one man would see that, hey, I want to stay in my sin. I want to follow darkness. And they see it as a negative thing. A believer says, like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he goes, this is what he says. He says, the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual. He's saying the word of God is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I do, I hate. In other words, he's struggling with the reality of who he was, but the awesomeness and the perfection of what God's word is from cover to cover, like Franklin said. And in the context of that, he says, so this is what I say. He says, I just thank God for the word of God. I thank God for the law.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God for the Bible because it shows me where I'm off.
That's right.
It shows me where I'm off, and it lets me know where I need to make corrections in my life. And by God's grace, we're able to do that. It's not you can't do this in works, but you just go, you're convicted and you ask God to forgive you. And then you go, Lord, help me get back on the path.
Mm-hmm.
And he leads us like a shepherd on the path of righteousness. Sorry about this, American Gospel. For his name's sake, not yours. You know, this ain't about you. And in that, understand that we're all the same. This is Paul who wrote, one half of the New Testament.
Testament
that we built Bible colleges off of. That he's saying personally that he is just like you. He's saying, listen, hey, I read the word of God and I have these great plans, but things don't work out. So I have to have the word of God from cover to cover in my life, because that with the power of God, because I depend on his completed work on the cross of Christ, that in that he will empower me to get back on the right path again. So what one man would say who wanted to stay in darkness, he would see condemnation. He would see rejection and just have to separate themselves from the Bible. A believer goes, oh my goodness, I am so sorry, God. I see what, and then you're excited about it because it just shows the believer how they can please God, how they can walk rightly before the Lord, and how humble they have to be because they know they can't do it in their own strength. And it makes me think of this, and I've talked about it before, but just kind of give you some insight, because Franklin Graham just said this last night on Fox News on the Greta Wire, whatever it's called, on the Fox News. And we want to give the perspective of that. What is the light perspective of that, an L-I-G-H-T perspective? Well, the perspective is we don't have no choice. We can't change God's word. And that's how we got in this mess that we're in right now, is we begin to change God's word. You hear somebody reads the Sermon on the Mount, and they go, well, this is what he really meant. It's like, where did the really meant book at?
Yeah.
Where's this really meant library at?
Yeah.
Well, that's not the ministerial etiquette. Oh my goodness, there's a ministerial etiquette book? Where's it at? I want to have that book.
Hello.
You know, it's like, oh, it's just, oh, it doesn't exist.
Mm.
And so in that, then we think about this. Think about, for, you know, in America, football is not football. Like, it's not soccer, it's football.
Right.
You know, like the Saints and NFL and all that stuff. That imagine playing football on a football field where you have the whole field's marked off, and one end of the field you have a field goal and the other end you have a field goal. Now, both of those are not your field goals. One is your adversary's and one is yours, and your job is to get to the other side like the Saints used to. and then you win the game by moving pretty much 10 yards at a time, and sometimes there's better plays than that, but face it, you're going to drive the ball. It's going to happen unless you're a good passer, unless you're Tim Tebow and he mows you down. and so the lines tell you how you're progressing and how you're moving. It tells the referees whether you're offside or not. You know, like offside, blow the whistle, they throw a flag, you know, and it's like, great. And everybody knows he's offside. They even go back and do a replay and they show where that player is in position of the ball and in positions of the lines. And the lines tell them whether they're offside or not. And the lines on the ball. There's even lines on the ball and where they hold it. And all these things are very important. And so everybody knows the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike basketball, who just violated all the time. Anyway, so and then your goal is to get to the score the end zone and get down to the other end and, you know, get some points. Like Saints used to. And now imagine having a field. It's a beautiful grassy field, You have seats, audience, stadium audiences, the audience on both sides sitting watching the game. You have referees down there, but all you have is a big grassy open place, and you have no field goals, you have no painted lines, you have no end zones, you have no 50-yard line, you have no 10-yard marks and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden you go in the middle of the field, they flip a coin, they go, let's follow God. No, let's play ball. And it's like, you're just walking into a mess. It's going to be mess. It's going to be a mess. Everybody's going to have their own idea what's offsides, what's not offsides. Everybody's going to question everything because there is no plumb line. There is no line. There is nothing that says this is a sin. This is not a sin. This is offsides. This is, you got a 10-yard penalty. And all of a sudden they just start saying, well, listen, preacher, the only reason that you're saying that I'm offsides is because you don't like me. And it's like, well, since I don't preach the line, since I don't preach the word of God, I'm sure your opinion probably is like that. But it's like, no, no, there's a line. Well, why don't you tell me about the commands of God? Why don't you tell me about the laws of God? And what happens is eventually people, you're pretty quickly, you're going to have fights, you're going to have squabbles, and everybody's doing what's right in their own mind, in their own heart, and not, because there is no lines on the field. There is no goal. Did you score the adversary's goal? Did you score your goal? Are you winning? Are you not losing? All your fans are going to leave because they're going to be offended by the calls that are taking place. Because if there is no rules in the game, you're not going to have any fans watching that game.
That's right.
Because they'll talk for years about a wrong call. But they only can know it's a wrong call if there was rules and there was lines.
Right.
And but if there's no rules and lines, everybody's saying every single play. And that's what we've done today in the church. We quit preaching the word of God. And we got to get back to preaching the word. Not everybody. But preaching the word of God. And what happens when you begin to preach the word of God, all of a sudden, all the players who call themselves the church that are on the team, God's team, you know, realize, I'm on the wrong side. I am actually scoring touchdowns for Satan. But you start preaching. And so people are going to get conviction. They're going to be convicted by where they are on the field.
Yeah.
They're going to be convicted. This is not a negative thing. When you're pastor begins to preach the word, or a teacher begins to teach the word, or you're hearing right now, you go to VFNT and you hear the VFN TV and you listen to the word, or you're hearing the word, understand, don't feel bad that you hear that when you hear the word preached to you that you're living in sin. Right. Might feel bad about the sin, but don't feel bad. Don't kill the messenger. Realize that God is letting you know. Now all you have to do, like Paul said, okay, now I realize that I'm off sides. I need to make a correction in my life. That's where you hear the word repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Where you say, you know what? And so then you go back and get on your side. You don't stay on the wrong side. Now that you know it's sin and the word of God's been preached to you and you consciously stay in a place where you're crucifying Christ all over again, there's a chance that there's nothing for you at that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going to happen is when you start preaching the word again, getting to the word of God and begin to preach the word, sir, ma'am, preach the word of God from your pulpit. Preach the word of God from every platform God has given you. And understand everybody's who said they were on your team, they said they were on God's team, you're going to find out there's a lot of players that aren't on God's team. Mm-hmm. They just like the idea of it. But they didn't realize you got to play on the same side as God. You got to play on the same side as God. But what happens is there's people who love God who didn't know it was sin. Like Nineveh, when they said, God says they don't know their left hand from their right.
Right.
But when you get to teach them, this is your right hand, this is your left hand, you know, and on and on. Then they go, well, hey, great. I'm going to get on the right side. I'm going to listen to the quarterback. I'm going to get in my position. I'm not going to be envious of other people's position. I'm going to get in my position, and I'm going to do what I have to do to begin to get yardage and do what's right. And I'm going to live right before God in the context of what he says in his commands. I mean, it's so understandable in football. Why is it understandable in the church?
Right.
And the thing is, everybody's not going to love you when you start calling plays.
Mm.
When you start throwing flags in the air and go, that's just can't do that. Like Franklin Graham said, from cover to cover, I have no choice. This is the rules of the game. And by the way, it's not a game with God. He gave his son for you. God loves you so much that he gave his son, and he allowed his son to die and take on the consequences of being offside, to being on the wrong side, to being on Satan's team. That if you make him the king, the Lord, the savior of your life, if you say, you're going to be the quarterback, you're going to be the calling the plays in my life, if that's going to be you, understand at that point, everything you did wrong on the field is forgiven. It's forgiven. Then you go, I'm going to follow you. Call the plays in my life. You tell me what to do. You tell me how marriage is. You tell me how family is. You tell me how finances. You tell me how business is. You tell me how the church is supposed to be. And I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it. And I know that we all get a ring in the end.
Mm.
We all get a ring in the end. Because let me tell you who's going to win and who has won. It was Jesus Christ on the cross. He won.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He left death captive. Right?
That's right.
And he those who actually come and make him the Lord of their life, the quarterback of your team, understand this, that you win. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Understand, in the end, if you begin to preach the word of God, you'll find out who truly is on God's side. And then those who choose God take care of them and love them and look after them. And those that are not, love them in hopes that they will make a decision to be on God's side. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
Is it legal to have a Bible study in your house? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We have a small church, and we're called the municipality to find out about holding a Bible study in our home. And we were told that we could not do that and that they wanted to redirect us to renting church space in our area.
We've had actually cases on that. I mean, we had a case in Colorado and a couple of other cases where cease and desist orders were actually taken out against people having Bible studies in their home. Illegal prayer meeting is what the citation order said. And we went to federal court on that and won. And in a situation like this, let us get involved in helping you right away. I'm going to get you in touch with our lawyers. You really should not have any problem there. But let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ, and we're going to get you some help.
Stay informed, get involved, and make a difference. Visit the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN torch. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is John and Chris. You were just talking about you know, what was said last night by Franklin Graham and understanding we have no choice to be able to pronounce the Word of God from cover to cover, and we ourselves are constantly making corrections in our life.
That's right.
But the thing about it is, because we love God,
we're willing to do it. Absolutely. You love Him.
Yeah. And so a lot of people, the enemy would start attacking them and say, well, that means you're just saying you're perfect. And they start pointing out the times that you're offsides and that you're like, no. Listen, read Romans chapter 7. The one who wrote under the unction of the Holy Spirit over half of the New Testament that we'll build Bible schools from, he says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the reason why God saved me was so that His grace could be shown forth so that other people, he's like, hey, you know, if John can be saved,
hello,
if Greg can be saved. I mean, Chris smoked his Bible. I mean, we're not going to talk much about that, but you can find that about down the VFN Torch. No, it wasn't a smoke offering. It was not good.
No, it wasn't.
We want to seek a perspective here. We got so much we want to cover. Make sure you catch the extra hour too, because we have so many things that it's going to give you a light perspective, L-I-G-H-T perspective, what's taking place. But this beheading that just took place, I'm sure, you know, we broke this on VFN Radio yesterday. And you probably were inundated at the end of the day about what you heard on VFN Radio, but it was breaking news for what we were sharing on VFN Radio. And now we want to seek a perspective. I first want you to hear from CBN News as they're reporting again about what took place. And then we're going to go to Professor Sharon of Hebrew University and let him begin to explain to us as in Jerusalem that they're, give us a perspective. What does this mean in the context of the Jews, the Christians, and Muslims? What does this mean? So listen up. This is a tragedy that took place in London when this soldier, listen up.
Good evening. I'm Mark Martin.
And I'm Wendy Griffith. Authorities in London want to know if the suspects in a brutal midday attack were part of a wider terror plot. One attended meetings of a now-banned Islamist group and may have been radicalized there.
Meanwhile, Prime Minister David Cameron is hailing a hero in the attack and vowing the country will not cower under the violence. Heather Sells has tonight's top story.
The suspects used knives and a meat cleaver to hack to death an off-duty British soldier. It happened mid-afternoon near his barracks. Witnesses say the attackers yelled, Allahu Akbar.
Total chaos, total. I don't believe someone has been targeted this way in an area that I live in.
After the killing, the suspects approached bystanders with bloody hands and a chilling message about how British soldiers must suffer for killing Muslims. Authorities now say one suspect, Michael Adebolajo, was born in Britain and raised Christian, but converted to Islam in 2003. He changed his name to Mujahid, which means one who wages jihad. The London Evening Standard says detectives are investigating whether he was radicalized after attending meetings of this group, Al-Muhajirun. It's known for praising the 9/11 hijackers and encouraging young men to follow their example. The British Prime Minister has called the attack an act of terrorism, and police are now searching several locations trying to determine if the suspects were part of a wider plot.
The people who did this were trying to divide us. They should know something like this will only bring us together and make us stronger.
Cameron also hailed this woman, Ingrid Lyall Kennett, who confronted the suspect and may have saved lives.
Were you not scared for yourself in that situation?
No.
Why not?
Better me than a child, because unfortunately, there were more and more mothers with children stopping around by, so it was even more and more important that I talked to him and then I asked him what he wanted.
When told by the attacker he wanted to start a war in London, she replied, "You're going to lose. It is only you versus many." She spoke for us all.
Heather Sells, CBN News.
Authorities have now released the identity of the British soldier killed in the attack. 25-year-old Lee Rigby was a member of the Queen's Guard. He joined the Army in 2006 and served in Cyprus and Afghanistan. He leaves behind a 2-year-old son.
More on this, we turn now to our terrorism analyst, Eric Stackelbeck. Eric, do you think this was an isolated incident, or do you think this attack was part of something wider?
You know, Mark, I think it's part of a wider ideological struggle. Now, we don't know if the two terrorists behind this heinous attack were linked to any larger movement. We don't know if it was part of Al-Qaeda, if they had direct links with anyone from a larger organization. But what we do know is this attack in South London was part and parcel of a larger global jihad.
We'll talk about the radicalization in Europe. How big of a problem is it?
Mark, I've talked about this on CBN News. Look, I've spent a lot of time on the ground in Europe. I've interviewed Islamic radicals there. As a matter of fact, a guy named Anjem Chowdhury, who's probably the most notorious Islamic radical in Great Britain, he apparently knew some of these machete-wielding attackers. No coincidence there, I'm sure. So what we're seeing in Europe is large Muslim populations, large Muslim immigrant populations settling throughout the continent, Mark, and they are not assimilating. Here in America, we have immigrants come. They generally assimilate into American society. In Europe, with the Muslim immigrants, it's a much different story. They are coming to Europe in droves, particularly Great Britain. I've been in the neighborhood where this machete attack took place. There are large, restless Muslim populations there that are very aggressive, you would say, Mark, who openly talk about overthrowing British society, overthrowing British common law, and replacing it with Islamic Sharia law. This is a trend throughout Europe with these large, restless young Muslim populations, and I fear this is all leading to a big culture clash, which will be nasty.
It's an amazing that CBN News reporting there with Stackelberg that I think about Dearborn, Michigan, and how it's kind of evolving into that as well. And I don't think any American condones the killing of anyone, and including Muslims. But the thing about it is that what this guy is professing, he says that he's upset because he feels that Muslims are being unjustly killed. And the thing about it is, you just killed a man.
Right.
You just unjustly just ran over this young man. He's in his 20s, like 25 years old. And it's not a machete. It was a meat cleaver.
Mm.
It was a meat cleaver. And to understand this, I mean, not like there's any difference, but the evilness, understand this. If by the way, if, as a Christian viewpoint, get in the Word of God and find out that's not a strange happening in regards to, you know, somebody wielding a sword and even, you know, the throne of God, of Jesus, you know, that there's still people who will be beheaded in the future who are martyrs, and that is not yet filled. And there's nothing greater than to, I mean, think about Paul. I mean, Paul, you know, they beheaded Paul, you know, for his love of God. And so don't be so disassociated from the reality of how horrific this is.
Yeah.
This is not an odd happening. This is a satanic happening, that this is what the adversary would want to do to human being, the human race. I think about Rwanda, where they went through Rwanda, the darkness went through Rwanda and got a hold of a war, basically a people in Rwanda, and they began to cut their brothers and sisters and killed an entire tribe almost off.
I mean, limbs.
How many hundreds of thousands?
Oh, many, many.
Yeah, and it's like, listen, that is, there's no such thing as being a friend with the devil.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the end of it's not going to be good for you. But the question is, and this is what we're talking about, that's why we kind of heard that segment again, a little bit more of it, to remind you of it, is we want to get a perspective, and who would know better than Professor Sharon from Hebrew University in Jerusalem as he's being interviewed here. You got to listen up and begin to get a perspective of a house of war and a house of peace, and how that how a Muslim sees the Quran and how significant that is to them and their faith. And it will just kind of give you some insight and some understanding. Listen up.
Well, Professor Sharon, thank you for joining us here in Jerusalem Dateline. You know, a lot of people need to understand, I think, some of the basic tenets of Islam. What are the pillars of Islam?
Well, there are five pillars of Islam. The first one is the profession of faith. Second one is prayer, which means every Muslim has got to pray five times a day. The other one is to give alms. It's called zakat. Every Muslim has got to give alms. And of course, it is in the Islamic literature, it tells sometimes how much each Muslim has got to give. And every Muslim is going to go on pilgrimage, the Hajj, Hajj to Mecca. And every Muslim is going to fast in Ramadan during the whole month of Ramadan. These are the basic five principles of Islam, to which one can add another principle, which is not part of the five, but it's very important in Islam, is this the principle of the holy war. The holy war against the infidels in order to create from Islam a world religion, and not only a world religion, but also a world government. Mm-hmm. Because religion and government in Islam is one and the same. Mm. It's not like in Christianity when you've got the church is one thing and the ruling and the government is another thing. Right. There is no Caesar and God. Uh-huh. There is no such a thing in Islam.
And what is this difference, this terms between the House of Peace and the House of War?
The House of Peace is very simple. The House of Peace is the territory in which Islam rules. That's the House of Peace. The House of War is the territory in which Islam should be ruling, and in the future it will rule. Islam would rule that area, and it would be part of the Islamic Empire. So there are two parts. The world is divided not only geographically, but it's also divided religiously. And religiously, it's divided into these two parts: the House of Islam, the House of Peace, which is the House of Islam; the House of War, which is the House of the non-Muslims. So, if you come from America, then you are Harbi. You come from the House of War. Mm-hmm. And basically, anybody who lives in the House of War is not a Muslim, is an infidel, and he is an enemy. Just by the mere fact that he comes from the House of War.
And what is the difference between Islam and the Muslims who may or may not subscribe to all of the tenets of Islam?
First of all, in any society, in any religion, you would find people that are believers and non-believers. Mm-hmm. I mean, non-believers in being part of the society, but not infidels, but non-believers in the religion mm-hmm. from which they come. Right. But in the Islamic world, there are two things which every Christian should understand. First of all, as far as the Muslims are concerned, the majority of the Muslims are believers. And most of them would keep the rules of Islam and the different things which they have to do as Muslims. That's one thing. Secondly, the belief in the Quran. Yes, we read the Bible as Christians, as Jews, But there is no such attachment that every individual feels to the Bible as one feels to a Christian, with all the attachment that we feel to the Bible. The attachment of the Muslims to the Quran is unbelievable. And it is for them, it is a way of life. It's the real words of God. And anything that is in the Quran or interpreted by the real interpreters or the good interpreters of the Quran is regarded as something that comes from God Himself, mm-hmm. particularly the text of the Quran. And this is something which one ought to understand. The holiness of the Quran is like a holiness of a guidebook that guides you in every step that you do if you are a Muslim and a real Muslim. Now, yes, we know that in the Christian world and the Jewish world, we regard the Bible as the Word of God. But it's very hard to explain it, that there is a tremendous difference between the attitude of Christian or Jew to the Bible and the Muslim to the Quran. Because sometimes we, a Muslim, a Christian or a Jew, would say, okay, the Quran is holy to the Muslim. But the Muslim would say, no, the Bible might be holy to the Jews and Christians, but they're making mistakes. They were not such good custodians of the Bible. That's why the Quran came to correct all the mistakes of the Jews and the Christians in the Bible.
Well, thank you, Professor Sharon. Appreciate your insight and understanding.
Pleasure.
That's just so helpful to kind of get some understanding is, you know, God's people destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So understanding that this is the pillars of Islam, And when we get back, we're going to talk more about that, because Israel feels right at this one moment that the chief is reporting that at any moment there could be a war on multiple sides of Israel. And Israel being as small as it is, that is not good. In addition to getting a perspective of what took place in Great Britain, that they see that as a house of war. And anybody from a house of war is an adversary. And we're going to also hear from the president himself and from a speech that he gave in June 4, 2009 in Cairo, Egypt, where he says very specifically that I'm going to help you out with the second pillar of Islam.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years, I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear him clearly, and it's beautiful. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
He says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing, and he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life, and it's just amazing where he leads you. Right. You know, you think you did it,
right?
You know, when you open up the scriptures, and there it is, and like, wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God, and by alone with God, they all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages? With the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though, to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org, request your plan, and it'll be sent to you immediately in your email, iabide.org.
If I've heard this once, I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple. Mm-hmm. I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission. But I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son, a daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at VineFellowshipNetwork.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me, of course, is John and Chris. We're getting a perspective of what took place, seeking the perspective of what took place over in Great Britain, where this soldier was tragically, young man was totally tragically just murdered on the streets right outside of his barracks and beheaded and hacked to death with a meat cleaver on behalf of a self-professing Muslim who the media defines as radicalized Muslim, And he's saying that he is getting vengeance. This has to happen because of the Muslims that are killed in the world. And he was bringing, I guess, his perceived justice.
Right.
And in that, the we hear Professor Sharon from Hebrew University begin to talk about the pillars of Islam and begin to seek an understanding. And when you think about what he's talking about, that the he sees, if he's following the Quran, he's radical. The only thing I could say is a radical Islam, as we say continually, and we've heard others, John Stemberger, you know, with Faith and Family, an attorney in Florida, who has done some cases through this, is that radical means they believe the whole book, the right. whole Quran, and they operate out of that. But one of the pillars, so then that means then he would see, if that's truly how he sees this particular young man, the soldiers, that he would be an enemy of Islam from a house of war. Because Great Britain is not yet under Islamic rule, he would think. And so, but a house of peace means a nation who is under Islamic rule, Sharia law. And that is their ultimate goal. So the ultimate goal is for what they call radical Islam would be to do away with the Constitution of the United States and put Sharia law up right. so that America could be a house of peace. And not a house of war. But until then, America would be considered a house of war. And everybody from America, according to this professor, Professor Sharon of Hebrew University, would be an enemy of Islam. And when you perceive how an enemy is seen, that's what happens to an enemy. Because they see that they're being threatened or whatever is going on. And it's just tragic. But you look at the president's Cairo speech in June for 2009, when he was at Cairo University speaking and giving a platform at that point to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is, you know, radical Islam.
Who was invited without the president.
Well, that was illegal for them to even be there, And hopefully if you're listening to this, you can see some related articles that you can hear previous posts about, you know, segments that we've done on this. You can hear the president himself talk about, I consider it my job as the president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam, no matter where it's at. It's like, no, it's actually to defend the Constitution of the United States, which actually I heard the other day, which I was like, wow, that's encouraging. But this is one part he talks about, because remember Professor Sharon talked about the pillars of Islam, and one of them is the zakat, that you got to give a percentage. But listen to what he said in that speech about one of the pillars of Islam. Listen up. This is the president in Cairo, Egypt.
United States rules on charitable giving have made it harder for Muslims to fulfill their religious obligation. That's why I'm committed to working with American Muslims to ensure that they can fulfill zakat.
And you think about it, there you go. That is the second pillar. And part of that is reported, and you can see the difference of that. You can go onto the torch and see that one portion of those funds that are gathered for that is used for holy war, which is referred to as
jihad.
And a percent is like 1/6 or something like that is made towards that. So to be able to collect finances in America under the nonprofit status, which they're actually attacking it, somebody's coming against, according to what we just talked about with what Franklin was speaking about,
right,
was the nonprofit status, and it's almost like pushing the zakat. I can see all of a sudden at some point the second pillar of Islam is going to be established in America. But the thing about it is, if 1/6, reportedly 1/6 of the money's being collected is for a war, for jihad, you know, it's like, come on, you know, you can't. That's one of the reasons why it's reported that has not been approved in America, because you can't make war against the nation. But if my perspective is, as a Muslim, a radical Muslim, is that it's a house of war, and these guys are my enemy, but they need to be under submission to Islam to have Sharia law so there could be a house of peace. I'm just trying to help you out. You know, that would be their perspective.
Right.
And this is major. All these things are so major. But understand this. This is what the Lord says. The Lord says, when I begin to fashion a storm against you, when I bring the sword against you, if you'll stand up on the wall, watchman, if you'll stand up and begin to warn my people and they repent, then the storm's not going to happen and I'll forgive them. If you don't warn them and they do suffer for what happens, then they will suffer for what happens because they didn't turn to God. Their blood will be on your hands. Mm. So just like this tragedy, the bipolar opposite of what we're talking about here, where this radical Muslim kills this 25-year-old, I mean, you got to see this young, innocent-looking man, you know, and...
A father,
and it's just so sad. I mean, just like, just, anyway. And so, in the context of that, he says, and so that he had this innocent man's blood on his hands. He had all over his hands, all over the meat cleaver, as this lady was filming him. But this is what God says. God says, if you know this and you don't warn them, and that's one of the things that we do with VFN Radio, we're telling you, then their blood will be on your hands. Mm. They'll suffer for their sin, but their blood, you'll be held accountable for them. But if you do warn them and they do repent, then you've won a friend and you've saved somebody. If you do warn them and they still continue in darkness and continue to go this route with the sword coming against them, then they will die for their sins and be held accountable before God, but you will not have their blood on your hands. That's it. You know, when I think about it, just think about Ezekiel 33. Take a little time to read Ezekiel 33 to be able to understand this is the God that we serve. The gospel that's been preached in America has been so foreign to the word of God in so many different areas. It's been dissected and treated like a buffet. And it's like, you've only pulled pudding out of the word for the last 10 years. And it's like, yeah, pudding's in there, but it's with the vegetables, it's with the meat, and it's with the full diet.
Okra, everything.
Yeah,
right?
The okra. All of that. And the context of this is that obviously, you know, one of the symbols of the Muslim Brotherhood and radical Islam in Islam is a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody like, get a clue. He says in Ezekiel 33, when I bring the sword against you, and somebody says, well, that's not happening. The soldier's dead. He's dead. Right. How can you sit there and say this didn't just happen to him?
Yeah.
How can you disassociate yourself from the humanity of this young man and say it didn't happen? Stop it. Stop saying the stuff that's happening in your face is not happening. It's happening. Stop it. And begin to turn to God and say, God, what is this? What's going on? Is this a storm being fashioned against us? Wake me up. Get my head out of the sand of denial. God, wake me up and help me to respond. Is this storm being fashioned against us? And in that, understand this. That our heart should go out to this young man.
Yeah.
That our heart should go out to Pastor Saeed and
Abini, Iran.
In Iran and others that are being persecuted. Listen, this is our future if we don't turn to God. If we don't respond like God says. What's he say? He says, repent. You know, as we talked about, you know, begin to live your life within the lines. Begin to read the word of God and adjust ourselves to the word of God. Humble ourselves. Repent. Turn from our wicked ways. You know, and understand that God then will hear, seek his face, and then God will begin to he'll forgive our sins, and he'll heal our land. He'll turn his ear to us. You know what? The sword that you're seeing, this really, you call this right? And it's like, yeah, deceived people call it right. That God will just stop it. He will just stop it because that's not what his plan, that's not what he wants for you. That's not what he wants for this nation. His plans are good. His plans are good towards you. His desire is to bless you and to restore the years the locusts had devoured. His plans are to bless you and for you to prosper. But that's if you follow him. If you don't follow him, it's not good. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I'm going to go my own way. I don't need God. I got my own whatever. And you'll find the end of that's not good. He says in Proverbs chapter 1, he says, you know, you wouldn't respond to my rebuke. You wouldn't respond to my word to you. And because of that, a tragedy is going to overtake you, and I'm going to laugh at your destruction, and you're going to call to me, and I'm not going to answer. That's what he says in Proverbs chapter 1, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
if,
then in
if
the
turn, right?
If you'll turn, because he's saying, listen, I desire to make my heart known to you. I desire to make my heart known to you, and in the context of that, he's saying, listen, I wanted to share my secrets with you.
Mm-hmm.
And God's wanting a relationship with you. He wants to abide with you. This is what it's all about. God loves you so much that he gave his only son so that you can walk together. Your daily life and live together forever in eternity. I mean, this is about intimacy with God. So I want you to get a perspective of that to say, listen, I've got to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I've got to begin to walk with God while there's still time. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You are disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe that, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to, and not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. Mm. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today, and God's bringing people to Himself. And you know, basically, people that have been inside something are heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you, and that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function, and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is great. It is great to be in the Emerald Coast. My goodness, I didn't know how beautiful this sun is out here, Chris. Yeah. I mean, you've been enjoying this all this time? Oh, my goodness, Pat.
Yeah, I love it. I got a chance to soak in a little bit the other day.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I got to see that bronze look on you.
I don't know about that. Now, you got some bronze going on over there.
I'm looking at you here, brother. I'm happy to report that I don't see any Saints shirts. I don't see nothing this morning. And I want to just give a hallelujah for that, okay? I just want to let you know. But you got the tan working for you. I'm telling you, it's nothing like beautiful blue skies, palm trees. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. This is beautiful. I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying being in the Emerald Coast. You know, I knew that I was getting near to Pat's home. I'm coming in 11 o'clock at night, and I knew I was getting close when couldn't see nothing now. It was pitch black. couldn't see nothing.
But I was getting this whiff, this aroma that was coming from the plane.
Hold on now. Clarify that.
That paper mill, I don't know what's going on, man, but I knew I was dead on the spot. I mean, X marks the spot.
Dude, you didn't know that was the glory of God coming
down. That's the glory?
That's the glory, oh, man. That's the glory cloud.
Don't put that smell on the glory, all right? Don't put that smell on the glory. But my goodness, it is so, so, so good.